cheki. Si lazima stress. Just vibe. Chize moja sana neka hivi. Mimi huyo destination town. Nimeclad dividend. Safari boots na jeans a blue. Shati baggy kuficha ice na cubes. Greetings to my momosh, the knife master. Mama mboga mkipenda. Route yangu ni 5'8, but I'm destined for the stars. Use a premium shit my people. Here comes rough cuts. Visioni is about to board. Simna zua deals. Scotty kwanza for the perfect seat. Near the back bench. Two seater mosi next to lalea meiva. Bora tu ivisikaya mzee. If you know, you know. Niko tense kiasi. Nenda kumisam na le pale chicken in. I'm a broke guy, but at least na try right.
You're listening to On the Same Boat with Shaka. And now, your host.
You are, of course, listening to On the Same Boat podcast, where we keep things real, mutual, and fun, literally fresh off the boat. And you already know this is your captain speaking. So happy new month. And let me first of all shed some light on the fact that it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I don't mind getting into detail, but I shall make sure to be posting as much content as need be on my socials, just to feed you on the information you need and make sure you're all informed. And here is a misconception that I will only give just for today. So breast cancer only affects women is a misconception. It's a myth. That is not the case. Breast cancer affects both men and women of all ages. So make sure you all educate yourself, especially niggas. More of that will be on my socials, which I shall drop at the end, kama kawaida. And you can also find it on the description on whatever platform you're listening to. So shout out goes to Keegan, who created a poster for my podcast. Thank you. I appreciate the podcast. Find love so much. How do people handle fame? Anyway. So now... our guest is very interesting. If you didn't get the hint at the beginning, what have you been listening to? You may know him from his music because he has mad spitting game. So for the first time on the show, we have an artist. Okay, he's not the first artist to it. Yeah. Okay, so for the first time, we have an artist, music curator, and dare I say, Afro Genge music genius. Hamko ready? It's Ngangi.
Hamko ready.
Sama. Hamko ready.
It's music genius. In what world? In what world is this?
Afro gang, I've said the eye. I've said. To take the fame. Take the fame.
I take it. I take it. I love the vision. I love the vision.
Yes. Next time, you'll have to introduce me, like with a rap or something, you know, so that you can also film myself.
Your people think it's easy.
Yeah. Just you. So sad. Hold the mic and then you tell someone, hold my beer. Hold my beer. And then you start. Yeah. So this episode is us talking with no specific topic in mind. I did not have anything planned, like a specific topic. We've been talking about specific genres in the past 19 episodes. By the way, this is the 20th episode. It's 2020, the 20th episode, and I'm not yet 20, but I'm about to turn 20 though. Let me first ask him about the musical genius part. So why Afro Genge? Why not hip hop, or what else is there? Genge tone, you know?
Let's see. Why Afro Genge? I was listening to some song. I will not mention the name of the song. And it was a Genge tone song, and I found it to be so repulsive when I listened to the words. Previously I just used to listen to the beats and the vibes and, you know, go to a party, get drunk and have fun. But then one day I was listening to it, I was like, is this the face of music in Kenya? Music that is degrading women to the core, you know, music that is pushing the boundaries of what our society can handle. And I'm not saying I'm God or anything of that sort. I just found that repulsive, and I was like, is there any other alternative? So going through the comment sections, I saw there was a need. Like, people wanted something that was you know, dirty, but not that dirty, or dirty in a good way, you know, like not degrading people. And I was like, well, at that point, I'd already started like making music. I did not start with Afrobeat at all. I was actually more into some crazy upbeat hip-hop. And as I grew, I was like, I need to find my sound. I need to find something I'm very comfortable with. And as soon as I came across that song and saw the comment section, I was like, that's something interesting. What if I take Afrobeats that is very popular across Africa and take genge, not gengeton, the original genge, the styles, they were very beautiful, and merge them together. How would that sound? And when I did Guara, people were like, wow, this is actually really nice. So that's how Afrogenge came up. It's just Afrobeats and old school genge styles combined. So that's how it came up. It wasn't like something grand. I know.
Actually, flashback, I remember even telling you, the first place I saw you was on Golden Circle K. He was hosting that day. Shout out to Golden Circle K. I even had one of the admins here. Shout out to my Mr. Girl. She's awesome. I follow Golden Circle K. If you don't, it's like the best Snapchat platform, probably even in East Africa, that actually makes sense. So please do that. Do that thing if you have Snapchat. If you don't have, you're just too old. Anyway.
You're coming for people like us who don't even know how to use Snapchat.
Excuse me, you hosted the whole 24 hours. What are you saying? Actually, you do not know.
I rarely use Snapchat. Like,
you know, I'm saying this because I have older friends. I love them. They know I love them. As in, I have older friends. They don't. And me, I'm telling them, oh man, there was a time Kwanza, we were hanging out with them. I'm not going to mention their names. They know themselves. But anyway, we were hanging out with them. And I told them, guy, I'm going to lose my streaks. I had forgotten to snap that day. I was like, guy, I'm going to lose my streaks. And then they're just looking at me like, what streaks?
Exactly. I asked, let me tell you something. Like, there's this time someone just texted me out of the blues. They were like, let's start a streak. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the fuck is a streak? Like, what is this thing? Like, Snapchat to me doesn't make sense. Like, I don't see the need for something that deletes after some certain time. I want proof.
Imagine me, I love Snapchat. No. Let me tell you, WhatsApp is dead. It's in the gutter. Oh my God. I don't like WhatsApp. I don't like WhatsApp.
Instagram is the place. Instagram has everything. It has everything.
Yeah, Instagram has everything. I like the fact that you can get a lot of information on Instagram, but also you can get a lot of fake information on still Instagram. Hey, I'm talking so intellectual. This isn't me. It's just that I'm from listening to the last episode of Surviving Nairobi. Now I sound like this. Anyway, so I don't like WhatsApp. Everybody just has WhatsApp because everybody is on WhatsApp. So
that's the beauty about it.
You don't even use it.
Simple. It works.
You barely use it. WhatsApp is for your family group. Cool. Just getting Kwanza right now. It's just for getting the links to classes and nini. And then status awatu peke. You get into WhatsApp, you check status, you answer the relevant text. The other ones is equal to spam. And then you leave. And you do that on repeat, you know. But Instagram, like even me, people know I'm more active even in the DMs. In terms of DMs, okay, I'm not telling everyone to shift to Instagram, but even in the DMs, I respond more on Instagram than on WhatsApp. On Snapchat, I like Snapchat because I find like it's easier to tell if someone is catfishing you from Snapchat.
But like, here's the point. Like, if you like, how do I? What is the first thing? The fact that people catfish you should be scary. Like, if people can be real.
No. Let me tell you. You never know. Who it is you're talking? Because on Instagram, you can find someone who has 10k for no apparent reason, isn't a content creator, is no one in this country, just has 10k followers and no post. His account is private, but he's in your DMs. He's not tagged in anything.
See, this is I have a very different experience with Insta, because if I DM you, I must have seen you in person. I will not DM you if I don't know you. Like, and if I DM you,
see, you didn't know me.
I was thanking you for something. I'm dead sure. I was probably thanking you for posting something or sharing something. But I see you on Instagram, and I think like, oh, you're really cool. Let me talk to you. I rarely do that these days. I'm always like, no offense, but you know, I prefer. you know, the normal old-fashioned way, sit at the bar table, or sit at the bar counter and talk to someone. Like, I think I've realized that social media now.
Do you only meet people in the bar? You drink a lot.
You might think I drink a lot.
People stop drinking.
On the contrary, I drink when I want to, which is mostly weekends or days when I'm very tired, obviously. Which is interesting because I took...
Would you call yourself a drunkard?
That's a very interesting question, and no. But at some point in my life, I will, yes. At some point in my life, post a heartbreak in 2018, I think I was using alcohol to run away from stuff, and it became a point of solace. So I had to take a 10-month break to detach that and come back to it as something that, you know, after a very stressful day, you can use to unwind. So it became a tool to just... But it's not like I'll be like feeling for it. It's not like I'll sit and I'll be like, oh my God, I can't function without it.
But I do agree with what you said earlier. It's easier. It's better. It's the old fashioned way, you know.
Yeah, the background.
I detest meeting people online. I really detest it because, except during this period, when COVID hit, you know, yeah, it's understandable because I started my podcast when COVID hit, and the only way I could interact with my guests was mostly through online. But I would really love to meet them, like, especially now because things have eased down. You can now get out with the right precautions, of course, and you know, meet people. Right now, I can do that. Before, I was like, I don't want to die. But I was imagining if it wasn't COVID, if I had still started my podcast and there was nothing like COVID-19, I would have made sure, like, you're meeting with my guests. Even if I do not know you, I'm going to be like, yo, I will make time to meet you. I will move my schedule up and down until I will move things. I will move things around so that I can meet you. Because I don't like meeting people online. And then, let me tell you, because of these people, these boys who've been DMing me.
This DMs I'm seeing on a daily here on my side. Please.
Hey, you have groupies already.
Hey, I have chat people. Hey, I'm dating, please. I know that. I don't know what you people are seeing because I'm not the most attractive man. I'm not even attractive. I don't have money. I don't even have a car. Please don't DM me because I'm dating someone. I really don't like when people DM me. With intentions. Let's stick it to music.
Man. Hey, let me tell you, people out here taken, guys.
Nairobi.
For us single people.
Nairobi.
What do you mean in Nairobi?
The things I see. No. The things I see on my... One day I'll actually do an expose. One day I'll take screenshots of my...
Oh my God, that event reminded me, like, where are people so, I don't know the right term to use, where are people uncouth? I was having a conversation with my friend and we were talking about nudes.
Oh shit.
Is it really necessary to send someone nudes without
consent?
Asking them if they, yeah.
Let me tell you, like first of all, that is sexual assault. And
yeah,
let me... First of all, like, the fact that you can just come to my DM unsolicited, right, and send that doesn't sit well with me. Like, you're assaulting me. Like, it's like you groping me or you doing stuff. It's that insulting.
Wait, there's a reason why I completely do not open my Facebook Messenger at all. I don't open those messages since 20...
What is Messenger?
21. 2014, Uko. It's been like 5 years. I haven't opened that thing because of those Indians. Oh my God. And they now transitioned to Instagram. Okay, I have blocked. If I ever show people the number of people I have blocked. Hey, where? Me sometimes ask myself, am I the only one who goes through these things? Am I the only girl? They normally look and they're like, ah, this girl, let me send her this. And let me just tell guys, the truth about the podcast analytics, this podcast specifically, is there's a small difference between the men and the women who listen to this, the female and the male, actually. There's even non-binary, but male is slightly higher than women. So I know more men are listening to me. Please, no girl wants to wake up and see your shit in the morning. Please, no girl wants to open her DM and that's the first thing that's staring at her. It's not beautiful,
I'll speak for
by the
best.
Way. It's not pretty. It's not like a unicorn. It's not like ice.
I'll speak for the guys too. No guy wants to wake up to a DM of a woman showing herself out. Okay, maybe some might exist, but for some of us, we find it disrespectful that you might assume that the only way I might talk to you or you might get my attention is through nudity or through something of that sort. No, people are different out here. Please, you know, if you feel the urge to ask, I'll tell you no, but ask.
Way, hey, but then, you know, I was trying to imagine a situation where if people would actually ask, do you want this, do you not want, because me, to be very honest, I have never been asked. Nobody has ever asked for my consent. Unatumanga, like, do I look like, come on, human decency, man, just ask me. I also need to be asked, man. Ask me. Kwanza mimi, if you just send me anything, I have a reputation of having, I'm not petty, but I do know when I am done with you, I'm done with you. And people know this. Like, even when I decide to ghost you, I have ghosted you. Ile mbaya. And if it takes, and people know, sometimes it takes just one damn thing, and that's the end between our friendship. That's the end. I do not know you, and I will ignore you. You live and doubt your own existence. So you can just decide to do something dumb, and I'll just, by the way, I won't even wait for you to explain. I'll just block you, delete you, mute you, you're out of my life. Just like that. So I feel like, hey guys, please, consent. Consent. Why send people weird things? Me na mkanga subuhi kuangalia Nairobi Gossip Club, si nyinyi. No, me, I'm... I want to know what's going on in the country. I don't want to see what's going on with your body. We were taught those things in biology. If I want to learn about the body, I'll go back to high school. I'll talk to my biology teacher. That's when I want to know about the body. Everything else, Ayapana. Has a girl ever shoot her shot? I think I always ask every guy on my podcast this. Has a girl ever shot her shot at you?
A lot of them.
Hey, sorry.
But it's
sorry,
funny.
But
it's funny that people never used to do that before, because to them, you know, like, I didn't have any value, according to, I think. And then, boom, I discovered I had a talent. And at first, people
and then
weren't
the
shooting.
Groupies came.
People weren't shooting. And then now they discover that I had a talent, a plan, and I was actually good at it. Oh my God.
When a guy can sing, I'm a play an instrument, I'm a... just has a purpose.
Well, that's the question. Like, why are you attracted to that? You're not attracted to the person. You're attracted to what he can do.
Because, let me tell you, no, you're attracted to people who have a plan. Yani, they
it's
have
like,
a
exactly.
purpose
it's
in
like
life.
A sexual gang.
But why?
It's like a sexual gang. Kona potential to. Kona potential to.
Yeah, let me tell you. It's true. This thing I was told. I'm not going to degrade it to only Kikuyus because I'm not tribal like that. But it say that a woman can see the potential in a man even 10 years before he sees it.
Then in that case, I must be very successful.
If girls are approaching you, they see something in you. Probably even you're not seeing in yourself. They see the success in you that's about to come. So, and girls like to secure things before it's taken. That's the truth. Like utakangi, wacha awe wangu nijuange. It's better to have than not need, than need and not have.
Bullshit. See, this I always say Nairobi. But that's the thing, like, last time I dated Nairobi chick, I don't remember. I was like, no. Nairobi girls, no. I've dated Somalia, every other country, like, since 2018. Every other country around Africa, around Kenya, apart from Kenya. Never.
That's a mad flex.
Never.
That's a mad flex. Where were? Hey.
Area to the Somalia. Somalia is even prettier, but sorry.
Oh my God. Please, if you're not a Kenyan, DM me, because I need a break from this. Kenyans, especially if you do not live in Nairobi. Okay, it's quite long distance. But if you live in Nairobi and you're not a Kenyan, please DM me. Thank you. And women, you're just saying that because you're from Machakos.
Yeah, and I love my people.
Okay. But let me ask you the difference between, because you've dated Nairobian chicks, Kenyans, and now around Kenyans, and you're not living in Kenya currently, you're not even living in this continent currently. What's the hookup culture like? The difference in the hookup culture?
I feel like America is very open to that. Because here there's a very big difference between sex and love. In Kenya, it's quite evident, it's there, but it's not as prominent as outside. And I feel like outside, within Africa itself, they prefer dating for the long term. Nairobi is often for the short term, according. So
yeah,
you know, I'd rather go for the long term than short term.
Hey, what's the longest relationship you've been in? No, you just said you're there for the long term, so I'm just asking.
I think I would say 7 months. That to me was very, very long.
God, seven.
So for me, you have to understand that one, there's been transitions in my life.
Stop giving excuses.
No, it's not excuses. I'm just saying as it is. That I was a short-term person, and that was me. I will not lie to that. Especially between 2018 and 2020 January, actually, because 2019 December, and then I went on a break because I was like, I'm tired of this toxic life of, you know, being with someone for like a month and then deciding that they're not the one, while you actually told them that they're the one, and or dating two people at the same time, all that stuff. And yeah, I went on a break and I was like, I actually want a long-term relationship, and I want it for, you know, the longest time possible. Eventually I was like, I found someone, and I was like, I don't want to leave.
Oh, some of us have had the longest relationships lasting even shorter than the battery life of your phone. But Nisawa.
I always feel like, you know, like the reason why I went for the short term is because I felt like I was not doing justice. It wasn't like about me not being satisfied. It was about me not being at the place I would want to be for the other person. And that's why I used to end most relationships. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not giving you the attention you deserve. You know, I'm not even there for you. Or I'm very detached, and I will catch myself at some point, which will be the soonest time, like within 3 months, and I'll be like, I don't wanna lie to you anymore. I don't wanna do this anymore. But at that time, I think I understand, because I was trying to find someone who was similar to someone else that I considered perfect. It was like this wild goose chase of trying to find someone who would be similar to that person, and that's why I took the break to, you know, realize that happened and it was never meant to be. I actually need to work on myself to realize that as much as you're doing this in a bid to find someone or to heal, you're hurting people the way you're not any better than any other person.
You said so you haven't even, oh, you said 7 months, so what's the shortest?
No, actually it was days, it was 3 days.
Legit.
I swear, I remember that day.
Legit. For real. Yani Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I'm done.
You're done. How are we? 3 days. I thought I was the bad one.
No, but I was attracted to the beauty, not realizing that this person was
something that's happened that's made Yani. Hey, that thing made me feel like, oh my god, I'm just people are trying me. People are really trying me. Anyway. So, the latest story that has been going on, I don't know if you keep up with the things that are going on in this country.
Oh, yeah, I watch news on it.
So, I think what's been trending mostly is the DJ Mo and Size 8 marriage story. Apparently, allegedly, DJ Mo cheated on Size 8. I'm saying allegedly because we may never know the truth completely. However, Edgar Barry, being Edgar Barry, he showed up with his evidence. Got into contact with the other side piece. She provided screenshots. She provided even his phone number, and he even, Edgar Barry even verified that that was the phone number. You know, I know Edgar likes dealing with legit information and finding out, is it really legit, you know? So allegedly, DJ Mo has been accused of cheating, but I think it's not alleged anymore because they're kind of like a test, like it's true, because even the way Size 8 is even reacting, she posted some things. Size 8 decided to tell the world that, oh, I'm going for this 3-day fast, I'm praying for my marriage, I'm praying for my family, blah, 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 whatever that was. So now she was saying, she was telling Kenyans, whatever you've heard about my marriage and whatever is the truth or whatever is not the truth, me, I've gone for a 3-day fast. Me, I'm praying for my family so that we are going to fight this thing, you know. Now blaming the devil. So under that post, she's now gotten a lot of attention. From the first one that really got to me was this one for Betty Bayo, when she said that fight for your marriage, cheating is a minor offense. Last week, if you haven't listened to the last episode before this, cheating, we talked about cheating. It was for International Podcast Day with my good friends Hope Nabalayo, Chief Sam, and Noel James, all podcasters, and they all have their own podcast. So we came together, did that episode. We talked about cheating extensively. Then I do the Honestly Your Host IGTV every month, and this month's theme was micro cheating.
Oh, is there such a thing?
And then actually there's such a thing as micro cheating. It's like a small way of cheating, you get. It's not extreme, like you had sex with someone.
There's no such thing. Cheating's cheating. Let it be as it is.
Imagine it's an actual thing. Apparently people think micro cheating is a thing, like you can cheat in a small way, like but it's very petty. It's very petty, actually. That's what I came to understand, you know. Actually, I was just talking about it because I just found it really fascinating. But I was like, okay, so if I start liking people's photos on Instagram and I'm in a relationship,
liking someone's photo,
that's cheating. That's the point. So apparently there's a breed of people who think there's a thing called micro cheating, but I was just raising the awareness on people, or so people can know micro cheating. People actually consider micro cheating a thing. So, but I don't think anyone can say cheating is a minor offense.
Especially marriage. You guys, first of all, this is why I don't believe in marriage as an institution. It's flawed.
What do you mean? Mm-hmm.
I never see myself getting married because it's a fallacy. That you're gonna be committed to someone for forever.
The follow-up question would be: are you a Christian?
I can probably say I'm not, and I'm proud of. I think I'm an Africanist. I'm trying to actually connect back to the religion that my ancestors followed, and I will believe in it. I'll take only the positive values from it and go back to it. This idea that the devil did it, I don't know, or God will forgive him. Hell, the man cheated. The man made a promise before God, before God, that he will be by your side with you and through everything else, right? And the person just, you know, in his conscious mind, went out of the marriage. That's a red flag right there. That's like, is this man even committed? Is he serious? I can't even judge the person. I'm not even too young to even think about marriage at this point. So, but I still feel like whatever he did was wrong, and lessening that thing is a problem. That's lessening, you know, the impact of cheating, the one Betty Bayo did by saying it's not a big deal, that's like normalizing cheating. So,
such a philosophy. The pain of even being cheated on, even when it's not even marriage, even when you haven't been in the long-term relationship, is still painful. It's still, I don't even get why someone will just say that it's a minor offense. So me, my question was, okay, so what's a major offense? Are you waiting for him to commit murder?
I heard that it's not. Are you? It's marriage. How is that no major? You broke your trust.
Oh my God. The person who talked was Betty Bayo, the ex-wife of Pastor Kanyari.
I'm so foreign to things in the country that I didn't even know that. I just know she was a very good artist at some point, and she still is. I just don't know. I don't listen to Christian music anymore, so I don't know.
The second person who also brought a lot of media attention was Ringtone, who commented on that same post and said he's going to mentor this family. No, me, I went ahead on that post and commented. I thought to be a mentor, you must have experience.
It falls in every single possible. This is the kind of people that we put base of our music. People devoid of ideas, people devoid of
plans,
people who can't articulate themselves, people
people
who say the dumbest thing just to get some likes. It disappoints me that. And we still give them attention. That's the thing about us. We still go there. He thinks he's right, but he's definitely, like, I don't know. I don't know if he realizes how dumb he sounds. I don't want to say that. Like, no offense, Ringtone, if you ever hear this, but I actually mean it. You sound really dumb based on your social media and all that stuff. You're an adult, and I feel like at this point, even if you didn't study or you didn't do anything, the least you could have done is taking a communication class to at least articulate your ideas. That's what I say. That's what I have to say.
Oh my God. But anyway, the thing is, I saw this thing on Twitter today morning. The first thing I opened Twitter was someone who posted the size 8 story, and next to it, someone holding a Bible, and it's written Bible of Misogyny. And I have never agreed more with that person, because it actually opened my eyes, because what I noticed was, out of the whole fracas, DJ Mo hasn't at one time apologized, hasn't said nothing. And now my question was, is it up to size 8 to fix their marriage?
Their
marriage was made out of two people.
No, this is a marriage thing.
It
was between them, right?
Yeah.
If DJ Mo owed anyone an apology, it's the wife. And
he has no points
to make it public.
However,
if he apologized, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he's very sorry about his whatever he did. It was stupid, but he did.
I know. Okay, let me tell you. The truth is, yes, he probably doesn't owe the public any explanation or anything. Oh, you know, like, that's okay. But however, the thing could be, the fact that even these people are media personalities, it just could be another publicity stunt just to boost their brand or whatever. Because,
you know, this is your reputation on the line for DJ Mo, and this is your marriage on the line. Like, how are we supposed to perceive you as the face of Christian music if you people are the most?
But the truth of the matter is, can I even remember who I was talking to this about? But I remember I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was asking this person, why is it that the people who trend is because of bad things they've done? And the worst part is, Kenyans make people who have done really disgusting things more famous than actual people who have content, than content creators, people who actually have something that they can feed the public with in terms of entertainment. So you're saying, like, someone like you, Gangi, could have already blown up by the way. Because, hey, me, I've listened to your music. I don't even like Kenyan music. I don't like local music. I listen to Accountable. They're not even reaching 5. But why? Why is someone like Shakila being given a platform? What content does they have? You know, and Kenyans, the bad thing is, Kenyans feed on that kind of entertainment.
Which is true. So
that's entertainment.
Simple answer. Kenya is a country that promotes mediocrity.
Uh-huh.
And that's something I learned as soon as I stepped out of the country. The people we consider to be mainstream musicians, most of them shouldn't be there. There's so much talent in our country.
Uh-huh.
That people who actually make music, who explore sounds, not just one sound. People who, you know, will go out there, do research to create a beat, you know, we'll spend time actually crafting the perfect words. But we still want to listen to, I want to do this to you, I want to, you know, fix you, sijui, nikupe dawa, sijui nini, medi, komedi. You get all those things. Kenya is a country that promotes mediocrity. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about us.
Yeah.
And Kenya is a country, there's a paper I did, and it's called The Mushene Country. We live on gossip. And I'm not saying that Kenya is different from any other country. I'm just saying that for us, we tend to promote, you know, the gossip, the, you know, those raunchy stories, because we live in a society that is quote unquote very strict. And if someone does something outside what we are used to, we're intrigued. We're intrigued by it. Wow.
Yeah.
But these are things we think about. But because of our society, we tend not to say it as a normal person. But, you know, when someone now does it, you're like, it's like the way Cardi B.
Yeah.
Cardi B and the WAP. So, you know, Cardi B.
True.
And Megan, they push the boundaries of what could be normal. you see, and they trended because of that, because people always, they want to hear that thing that they don't hear on a daily. They want to hear that thing that they say on closed doors, and Kenyans live on that. But the problem with us is that we promote that more than we promote actual stuff. Nigeria has the same thing, but you see, like, the talent still comes out. The people with content, with things to say, still have a chance. But in our country, it's more the controversial people. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's really sad, because by the time you make it, it's something controversial that has been created about you, or something you did that's made you famous. And now the question is, if everyone wants, the people who have a strong following are there because you even start like wondering why are people giving you this platform? There are very few people who are legit, like just pure content creators. They don't have no drama, nini, and people feed on their content. But even that dies. I don't know why Kenyans like celebrate on people's misery, celebrate on such.
The mediocrity complex.
It's so annoying because of this thing washed me. I was telling my brother, like my small brother. I was from listening to the Kamenegoro and Shakila story on Jalas platform, the YouTube thing. So Kamene asked Shakila. She gives Shakila some things. Like, she told her, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You know what we can do? There's a better way to, you know, get where you want to get, you know? Like, there's a better way to get that kind of following that you want, which is okay. And then she went ahead and asked, now, Shakila, what do you aspire to be like? What is it that you really want? We see if we can help you. Because she was very sure that with her kind of platform, her kind of following and her fan base combined with Jalas, they will be able to pull her up, you get. So she told us, what do you want? She said she wants to have a podcast.
About what?
She said she wants about to what? Have a talk show. Now, my question, that's the thing. So me, I sat down and then I went back to her page and I went through each and every post, and I was, oh my God. So then I went to, I think she's been featured in, the thing is, even if she started a podcast, what would it be about? But you know what the sad thing is? She's going to have a huge audience. Not because she's serving content, but because people are there to just, I don't even know what people go to listen to. But trust you me, she's going to have a large audience. She's going to benefit more than people who've been in this podcasting game than anyone else. She's going to benefit more than the largest podcasts. We have the Ben Psycho podcast. We have the Surviving Nairobi. We have podcasts with huge platforms right now. She's going to benefit more than us. She's going to get endorsement deals before us. People Shakila, who started earlier. People
very,
who actually...
I'll be really surprised. Like, what does your brand stand for? Stand for putting remotes in public? Or doing all those things in public?
She did try to clear her name. That's okay.
How?
She did try
Saying
to clear her
big.
Name. However, she claimed that she was just on.
That's stupid.
It was just the alcohol. So, she blamed it on the alcohol. We're just gonna give it, call it whatever you want, right? I normally say in this country, either people blame alcohol, people blame Nairobi, or people
blame
the devil.
Like, here's the thing. If you are a very sober person, someone was never drunk before alcohol, do you think they're going to do everything that we have seen? Like, here's the thing. This alcohol just, like, it's like an inhibitor. You know, you're not shy anymore. You're confident. Like, you can say everything that you think.
Yeah.
You can say everything that you want to say. It's not like...
True. And alcohol, actually, it just, like, lowers your guard on the things you've always wanted to say and the things you've always wanted to do.
That's the thing about alcohol. It pushes them low. So, either way,
yeah,
it shows your true self. Like, I know there's a time I was drunk and I said something and I was like, I've actually thought about that. something that I've never wanted to be in public. But at that point, I was like, what's to lose?
True. But the fact that she hasn't taken, you know, any accountability of, you know, actually, she's not taking, okay, yeah, she's blaming the alcohol. And people do that. People blame the alcohol. But at the end of the day, it was a conscious decision. The same way cheating is a conscious decision. I feel like by the time you think, ay, kuna vitu hata, even if you're high on God knows what. And you've said, you've actually even said something. Who will endorse her? Like, what companies will endorse her? Because the only thing I've been seeing on her story actually of late is she's the only companies that have endorsed her are these things they're selling. The
just sex Instagram pages. That's
sex toys
of,
and
they feed off numbers. So, you know, it makes sense. Like, it makes sense. But for just brands that are fully established, I don't think anyone would want to be associated with her. And if you do, I'm a finance major. I'd love to see her, how long you'll survive.
And also, there's also something you should say. What? Her rate card is 100K to 150K. Now, that's another question I was asking. To do what? Okay. So, you're telling me, if now I go to her, you know, even actually my brother was asking me, have you thought about having Shakila as your guest?
What's the purpose?
And I was like, why? What will she say? What? Why am I having
because
her here? You know, like,
she's
why? No, what would I even, like, what conversation could we have? What conversation, you know?
Anyway,
like, what's her contribution to this society?
Here's the thing. I know we strive for that, but we need to realize that we need to have purposeful conversations, not just conversations. Otherwise, we'll forever be stagnant as a society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've observed. We rarely have meaningful conversations as a people. And that's something Kenyans need to realize. We tend to just have brush off conversations without going in depth, without really understanding, like, what's your philosophy? You know, why are you thinking like this? You know, like, sour. If we apply this kind of thinking, how is it going to benefit us as a society? We just want to hear things that we rarely hear or things we want to hear.
Yeah.
Neither of the two. But never about having conversations that will progress us as a society. And if we were serious about it, we'd be very fast.
So we've talked so much about that. And maybe the last question that I'll ask you concerning that is, what is the weirdest... Okay, how do I ask this?
I know
how far would you go for clout?
Definitely not anything sexual. First, I need to set some grounds. I plan to go to politics. I know my grounds. Like, I know that one... First of all, I went to Alliance. Let's start there. I went to Alliance. That's the first thing. I have a different expectation from
okay.
From people in my community and my parents.
Flexing.
Two, I plan to eventually end up in public service or business. There's no way I can destroy my reputation trying to chase clout. Waswahili wasema, you know, chama cha chajiza. Yeah. So if I think that my music is good, it will do itself. And the fact that I'm actually getting featured in magazines or articles outside our country says it all. I'm not bad. Like, I know I'm good. So,
for
me, I'm like, I really don't.
Yeah.
For me, it's just my work. I want to do something that will amaze you. Like, I want to put out a song that you listen to and you'd be like, wow, this is crazy. And then, boom, that's a get clout. But if you expect me to be in a dating scandal, hell no. That's GB, I don't know, do what to who or nah. Like, I protect my image a lot. I don't like being vulnerable. And I wouldn't want to put myself in such a situation where my shit is out there.
Kang, you were featured on the Millennia magazine,
yes,
where you talked about Pan-Africanism. So I know very little on Pan-Africanism, and just share your thoughts, because I don't know what even that is, to be very honest. Like, on a full scale, I do not know what that, I just know the meaning.
Of course, I'll give you like
other than that. I don't know.
That's the way of not being wrong. So it's the idea that, you know, people of African descent or people from Africa, they have common interests and should be unified as a people. That's my thing. my kind of Pan-Africanism is a little bit I'm tired of this conversation that we need to be united. I'm tired of this conversation of all that stuff. I want conversations about how we can advance other people of African descent. Because in this world, we don't have leverage. And we don't have as much leverage. I mean, we have some leverage, but not as much. And for me, I think like we need to have conversations about how we are going to advance as a people and prepare ourselves for the future Africa or for the future African people. How will our future look like? That's the kind of conversation that I think when I went to the millennia, I wanted to have. Like, we need to understand that, one, we are too divided as a people, and we are often divided by, one, geographical boundaries that were set by people that are not even from our land, that we are divided by, two, religions that are not even from our land. You know, like, before even you talk about Ethiopian Christians, every other community had their own way of life. We had our own way of thinking. We had our own way of interpreting our world. You know, I want us to go back to that level where we know ourselves. We don't right now, and that's a problem. Like, most of Africans don't know themselves. You don't even know what your grandfathers did. You only know that you're a Catholic. Before that, you had your own way of life. You had your own way of thinking. You had your own way of interpreting what we see around us. You know, saying that the Mulungu came from a hill. That's our way of interpreting our world. I want us to get to that level where we're so intimate with our land, you know, and we get that self-confidence that we have in those back days that we'll go to fight because you, other community, tried to tell us that our community are not right. I'm not saying that we get back to that fighting level. I'm just saying we get back to that African level where we are so intimate to our true selves and not this curated world that we live in. Because this was curated by someone.
Someone. Which, true. And Kwanza was listening to Aki Guy. I plug these people a lot and they shout them out a lot. Understand me, guys, these people, I look up to them every day, everywhere, all the time. Survive in Nairobi. So I was listening to one of their episodes and they were talking about street culture. The streets are not street culture, street fashion. And they were actually talking about, they asked this question, does Kenya even have its own street fashion? Because you see the Chinese, because you see those videos of the Chinese and their fashion. Oh my God, it looks so wow, like, yo, those people know how to dress. You see other countries, and then you come to Kenya and you don't even understand what's going on because our idea of fashion has already been fixed, as in it's not unique to Kenyans. It's just everything. It's everyone. It's what the white are wearing. I mean, it's what everyone else is wearing, but it's not unique to us. So I feel like, yeah, that will be something. That would be something like really cool if we actually had our own kind of dressing, street fashion, which there are fashion creators right now who are coming up with awesome design styles and that portray Africanism, that portray the Kenyan culture. However, the fact that it's not like very accessible, like we need more than that, because it's not very accessible. And right now, like, the fact that it's not very accessible, it's high on demand but low on supply, which makes it very expensive. More expensive than the normal things you just see on people in movies wear, and then you're like, oh, I can wear that. Our music is so has really influenced how we dress. The fact that you listen to hip hop music, you see how Cardi B dresses, you see how Nicki Minaj dresses, you see how Pop Smoke, I don't even know who Pop Smoke is, by the way. But anyway, you see how these people dress and you're like, I want to dress like that. You just dress like that. The people who are going to wear what Kanye West is producing, even if it makes zero sense.
So we have to realize that we live in a world of
especially
at this point. And even the Chinese videos that I've been seeing on TikTok, and the Chinese street fashion videos, they're wearing Balenciagas, they're wearing brands from everywhere around the world. You know, it doesn't matter that much. Now, in our African context, yeah, we must realize that, you know, to get the stuff that Attila has spent time on to craft, to sew, and to make sure it's of good quality, it's going to be expensive. The Chinese will mass produce stuff. The Americans will mass produce stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have that leverage. So yes, I know that sometimes some of this stuff to get may be hard than normal, but if we really truly love ourselves, I think we can be willing to take that sacrifice. Now that said, I think when you step outside our country, you realize that we have our own culture. You don't see it on a daily because you're in it. It's normal. But as soon as you step outside the Nairobi space, you see it. And Nairobi fashion is very diverse, yes, because we're a very diverse lot. But you start noticing that some certain prints from certain communities, some certain colors from certain communities stand out. You know, the Kikuyus with the brown, it comes. They used to wear that in the traditional eras. The Maasai's with the prints. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there. But it's not as pronounced because, hey, we still live in a third world country, and I don't think you want to spend 1,000 shillings getting, or 2,000 shillings getting an Ankara shirt when you can get nearly 20 Chinese shirts, you know. So it's a question of that, and it should be a question of how can we make sure that we reach a point where we can produce our own stuff to a point where, or mass produce our own stuff to a point where people can afford that and get back to a point where we want to dress the way, you know, we tell stories. But right now we dress out of utility, you know, you just want to have clothes on. That's why mitumba sells, because there's that utility. Like right now, if I walk in New York and someone is from Kenya, I'll know they're from Kenya. I just know, even without the bracelet, I know based on the colors and how they're dressed. I just,
I don't know why Aladdin has popped in my mind, but anyway, do you believe in magic?
That I come from a Kambo.
Wow, okay, but so let's just hypothetically speaking, if you were in Aladdin's shoes, you have a genie, you have three wishes.
I have
what power. Will they be?
Like, I want political superpowers, people and masses. That's the first one that I would want, and two, I would want financial leverage. Because power without financial leverage is nothing. And then three, I'd want a perfect wife. That's it.
Okay. Do you know if I were... This nigga is too serious for life. Like, you sound so...
No, but that's focused, like, that's what I want. Like, I know, like, what I want for my country. Aye. And I know where we
should be.
And I know we can get there. If we just get people who are very focused towards achieving that, and we will get it. You know, like, we can't. So, I feel like if I have a very
the thing is, think about it, it makes sense.
Like, if I have a very trustworthy wife who shares my vision, I can have someone who listens to me without judging.
Uh-huh.
If I have the power, I can sway the masses to see what I'm seeing, or to see what we are seeing, assuming that we'll be a team. If I have the financial leverage, I can be able to put my own money towards getting us to that second level of Kenya that we have not gotten there in 50 something years. It doesn't make sense that we have all these resources but we are not moving. I mean, yes, there's significant movement, but so much money has been lost to selfish people.
Okay, you know what has even shocked me is how organized your thoughts are. If I had three wishes, I think I'd only think of having access to all the candy and ice cream in the world, to be probably a marketing guru, and to be surrounded by real people. Because when maybe like those three combinations, you're already happy. You're already
happy. But at the same time, like, what's your
happiness?
What
would be a...
No, but.
But your thoughts are like what political and like, so organized.
Is it just to live? Do you have a contribution to society? And if you do, what is it?
No. See, I've said. I want to be a marketing guru. Like, that will be... Because if you think about it, the people who control business, who control trends, who control everything are have some knowledge in marketing, and marketing plays a huge role in business, and businesses are everywhere. It plays a huge role in the economy, and the thing is, marketing changes over an era. Like in 10 years, in 5 years, even in 2 years, the marketing game would have changed. The same strategies that you used 2 years ago won't work today. You see my point? So if you're a marketing guru, if you control the economy, you have a lot of things in your hands. You have literally a lot of power in your hands, because you can control the upscale and the downscale. You can control who's getting what, how they're gonna get it. And why I want to be in marketing is especially because everything else you can be replaced.
I can argue that out, because I take finance and I can tell you that
as a marketer, yeah, that's the truth. You can be replaced as a you can be replaced as a manager. You can be replaced as a director. You can be replaced as an IT specialist.
You missed a constant. There's a constant.
You can be replaced as a HR. But let me tell you,
marketing is a variable. It changes with time, right? It's not constant. Mm-hmm. At the same rate, there's the investor.
Yeah.
That person with the money, that person with the financial leverage, will be there all through. And you guys, the marketing person will just be phased out with time.
That's true. Like, which is why I said, we're about to end. So let me just ask you two random questions. It's time for the people who want to know. So the first question is, if you could normalize one thing today, what would it be?
Thinking. Critically thinking.
See, everybody thinks.
Critically thinking.
Thinking is normal.
That's it. That's what. It's okay for you to spend your time to think about something. It's okay for you, you know, to sit down and evaluate stuff without worrying what other people will say. It's okay for you to put your voice into things. It's okay for you to air out your mind. That's what I want. Like, I would love seeing that. I love people analyzing what they see and hear on TV. I love people to ask themselves questions. Why am I being fed this? You know, why am I getting this ad? Is it because Instagram decided that I deserve that ad? And if so, why? You know, it's like your world is nothing but data collected around you, and that data is used against you. I want people to think about that. Think about why politicians are saying certain things, why they're speaking the same way they're speaking in 1920 or 1980. You know, like, if we can ask ourselves these questions, again, I would say, I think we can advance as a society. I'm not saying we're backward, but I'm implying it.
I think for me, I could normalize one thing, it will be respecting people's decisions. If someone says no, take it as a no. If someone says yes, take it as a yes. Like, that's one thing. Me, actually, if people could just respect people's decisions, especially when it comes to consent, would be far, man. That would be one thing I really badly wanted to normalize. But anyway, second question, what is your best pickup line?
I don't see the need for pickup lines sometimes. I usually tell you a compliment. Or if I give you a compliment, I like your hair, I like your smile. And then you can talk from there. And then, hi, I'm
sorry. Hey, okay.
Conversation pops up. Was your day? And then you tell me something like, oh, nice.
I think people should also normalize
it's not cool
not using pickup lines that they see on Google.
I learned that the hard way,
because oh my god. Kwanza, I'm gonna have a whole conversation about this later on, I think in season 2. But anyway, I really wanted to talk about pickup lines because I realized there are let me talk about men. The things men say. No. It's just that there's some things men say and they don't realize that sound really sexist. They sound, one, sexist, and two, they sound really, I don't want to say rapey,
Can I also revert that with the same
But it just sounds really sexually harassing.
There's some things that people say, mm-hmm. but a fuck. Let me use the word fucking. They are fucking repulsive as fuck. That you guys think that you should get everyone because you tried, and you're very aggressive with it, mm-hmm. and then you expect us to be very polite.
How?
Oh, let me open my DMs.
Would you able give an example?
Huh? There's a girl who came in and she was like, "I want you to like actually like I want to have sex with you." I was like,
"Hey, huh?
Okay, that's cool. That's a picture. Just say it as it is." I was like, "What the fuck is wrong?"
She just said it like she just there was another said point. It like that. Like,
okay, there was another point. A girl came in, right? She was like, "I want you to do this to me."
Mm-hmm.
And the things she said, I was like, "Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong with you? They're very aggressive. Like, I want you to I don't know, come here between I don't know my what and do this to me. I want you to do this all night." I'm like, excuse me. That in the back of my neck, I'm like, bruh.
That dingling.
Mimi ni meokoka.
Hey.
That's my excuse.
I, you just said that. You're not a Christian. I'm not a Christian.
It's on that bed.
But anyway, please. Okay, first of all, to those guys
who are
Jiheshimu nani? Jiheshimu, by the way. However...
Like
but
what?
However, I do.
Tell me one.
There are other things like men really say, and even if you're trying to pick up a girl, even if. Wait, let me think. What has a man ever said to me? Okay. You know, there's a way you can compliment someone. You can tell them, yeah, they are beautiful. But
okay,
if
me,
we do not know each
sense.
Other, there's no
How
need to get into detail. Like, if you get into detail, like, oh, the shape,
the kind of
your
man,
ass,
the kind of man that
your what?
Scary. If you're going to talk about an ass, just say that you're a good boy. That's it. Or be African. Say you have a Coca-Cola. Don't go into details.
Coca-Cola body. It's a Fanta.
I think we deal with very Coca-Cola different Coca-Cola
is
bottles.
It is like fine shape.
the ones I touch, my friend, they are curves all through.
But let me tell you, also, like, when a guy is picking you up, even talking to you, like, for the first time, he, especially, okay, I do not know about other girls, but I bet I'm not the only one. The way they approach you, even
what?
Especially on the DMs, like, hey, I saw your CG, what? I checked your feed.
Excuse me, there was a day I danced shirtless and accidentally I had a V-line showing up. I didn't know what a V-line was until some girl told me what a V-line was. And apparently it's attractive to people. Yeah, I did not know.
For real.
And that girl...
Let me tell you, the most provoking thing I have on my feed... Is the don't trust
no,
was just in a towel. That's it. But you see but you see nothing. You don't even see my cleavage. You don't see anything. I have a, like something
very,
that will provoke someone to come to the extent. Guy, how are to surely. Kwanza, these people who are like, oh, I used to see you in school, but I never talked to you anyway. I'd like to do your what? Okay. Listen, put yourself... Okay, this is something, but it feels like it's becoming a whole other conversation. But guys, if you would put yourself in a woman's shoes and listen to what you're telling that lady, would you be comfortable around this person?
I'm a very good feminist.
Would you allow yourself to be left in a room with this person?
Before I even continue the statement that I'm about to make, but I'll reverse this statement. Women, just because you don't approach us more often, please do not make demands or do not come into our DMs thinking that you'll get whatever you think you can get just because you've tried.
But they may don't know where this category of bold girls are coming from. I've never seen them. You should shed some. I may want
to
know them.
Yeah,
because
maybe,
I can't go to at least some niggas DM
some
and
general
just...
from primary. A lot of them.
I may can. That breed. I don't know where you people were born, but I do not know. I don't even know.
Like...
Because me, I can't even defend you. Because me, I'm not even like that. Me...
But you see,
my confidence is 100 until it reaches to approaching a guy. Okay, it felt like, yeah, that will be a conversation, another conversation coming up. But it's not that society. Okay, it's because it's the way we've been raised. And let's just blame it on society today. Yeah, we're going to blame it on society, but it's the way we've been raised. Even when you are small, you know, like even, it's the way society brought you up. Exactly. The way they, you know, the thing is, the way they were raised is how they're going to raise us.
The most toxic people I've ever met are people older than me. And it's you people above 30, and you're the most toxic people I've ever met. You are a generation that is toxic to the core. You have a very big divide. It's either that a quarter of you are woke, and the rest of you in the darkness. And you pretend like this is 1920. We are not in 1920, my dears. In this generation, we want conversations. We don't want you to tell us what to do or tell us what is right and what is wrong.
The thing is, you see, like, they'd always attack you. Okay, our parents, even if you... You know, us, we just never did anything. We just never did anything. Like, you were told, do this. Our first question would be why? Because we want to understand why you're making me do this. Like, there should be a reason. There should be a whole reason. To them, that's been rebellion.
There's one point where mom thought I was rebellious.
Is you need to...
And I simply told her, mom, I'm not being rebellious. I just want to know why. And that was that's when I got into college, and my professor taught me to ask that question, why?
Yeah, why?
Why is it that you're telling me I cannot date a white woman? Why? Is it because you're racist? You know, those conversations we've had. Why is it that you're telling me that I cannot go into music? Is it because you don't like the musicians here? So it's you think that my life is based upon what you have, like the expectations you have of me? Why is it that you don't want me to do this or that? Is it because, like, we have had this conversation a long time, but we've even argued about it. And I think my mom has reached a point where we can have conversations now. Because I was always like, you're always worried about what people around you, and I think that's what people above 30 are worried about. What people around them think. What your pastor thinks, you know, what your community elder thinks, what your neighbor thinks. And you want to make sure that you have this perfect idealistic family that aligns to that thinking of these people that you hold, they held high in regard, especially pastors. And yeah, that's something that I've been in it's a conversation that I've had a lot of time. And it's interesting that every time I'm always like, mom, you're being selfish, because that's based on your thinking. That's based on you as a person here. So it's, you think that my life is based upon what you have, like the expectations you have of me. Why is it that you don't want me to do this or that? Is it because, like, we have had this conversation a long time, but we've even argued about it. And I think my mom has reached a point where we can have conversations now. Because I was always like, you're always worried about what people around you, and I think that's what people above 30 are worried about. What people around them think. What your pastor thinks. You know, what your community elder thinks, what your neighbor thinks. And you want to make sure that you have this perfect idealistic family that aligns to that thinking of these people that you hold, they held high in regard, especially pastors. And yeah, that's something that I've been in it's a conversation that I've had a lot of time. And it's interesting that every time I'm always like, mom, you're being selfish, because that's based on your thinking. That's based on you as a person.
Been raised how even our mothers tell us, oh, a girl is supposed to act like this, a girl is not supposed to just, you know, take herself to guys are the ones who are supposed to look for a lady is supposed to be chaste, not chaste. That's how we've been raised by our parents, which is why, because of the same way they've also been raised, they were raised in a way, in a setup where a man was supposed to leave his home and look for the lady, then negotiate with the elders or whoever it was, then they get married. So they just brought that whole concept of a man is the one who's supposed to be the conversation starter. And now that is why, even up to date, it's very hard for girls to be the first person to approach a guy. It's very, very hard. It's because that's the whole, it's not been normalized enough. It's not like something that has been, you know, it's normal. Yeah, we are empowering women. We are telling them, yeah, you deserve equal rights, equal spaces, equal opportunities. But there's still some things. It's not easy. Even for me, like, it's been very hard to approach a guy is I haven't ever approached a guy, being the first person to approach the guy till date, unless it's asking someone to be on my podcast. But if it's anything else,
So for starters, I need to say that yes, I agree with that, and I do, and I feel like there's a lot of change that we have to make as a society, and it's gonna be ruthless. It's not gonna be easy, but eventually it's a conversation we're gonna need to have as a people, especially considering there's a very big divide between people who are in their 30s, 40s, and people who just, you know, kinda 20s. I feel like we're very exposed. We are a generation that's very, very, very exposed, and we need to have these conversations if we think we're gonna progress as people. I know you've had this conversation about advancement, because I think like we have been stagnating for too long. And we need to make that leap.
So this has been such a delight. If you've listened till this far, congratulations to your concentration span. So to find Ngangi, reach him out on Instagram and Twitter as __Ngangi, and on YouTube as Ngangi. His music is available on Spotify, Apple Music, Deezer, SoundCloud, Mdundo. Mdundo.com. YouTube and many above. Well, let it slide. The links to get his music and the different platforms it's available on is on his bio on his Instagram. So if you definitely find his music somewhere, please jump to it. If you know a DJ, let them know that this is the music they should be playing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that you people might assume that I'm a very serious person, but I just love her. Like, I love meaningful conversations, and I think, you know, as I said, that's the only way we can advance as a people, if we have conversations that matter, not conversations that would excite people. And I know that may sound boring, but
it's actually not boring, it's just a weird way.
Like, we're gonna be the next elite, like, you know, like in 10 years or 20, 30 years, the people that are the current elite, they're gonna die. They're either gonna die or they're gonna be phased out. And if we don't have these conversations now, there's some people right now in our 20s who are working so hard to make sure that by 30 they're so far ahead that you'll never catch up with them in life again.
True.
Because they're preparing for that new elite, which is us. And if we don't have these conversations, or if we don't really build ourselves to a point where we can see ourselves as the future elite that will control decisions in this country, we will never progress. It will always be a generational thing, and we need to put an end to that. There's no way that a single family can produce leaders in this country. What does that say to the rest of us? Are we not worthy enough? You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I invited you guys to these conversations. Just realize that these are conversations we need to have now, not later. Otherwise, later it will be too hard for you to make a billion shillings to catch up with the rest.
Yeah. I hope when you come back to Kenya, I'll host you again. I definitely want to host you again. You have a different way of thinking, which is it's really fascinating, you know, just hearing how I just want to have you again. So definitely when you come back, I'll definitely want to host you again.
I'll see if I can come back over summer. I was planning to come back over summer because that's when I plan to do concerts and public events.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, I'm just building a brand. As long as you know my name, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But in like 2 years, I plan to be the next big thing in this country. And
yeah, by the way, that's a prediction, man. Ile siku uta blow up, okay? Sinisahau. Just tell people, you know, Shaka. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Show your love. Make sure you pass by those his pages. I'm gonna link them on my Instagram and also leave them, I think, here. Yeah. His music is, oh my God, I'm gonna play this, one of his songs after this. Thank you so much for listening. I really love you all. Make sure you pass by my Instagram at On The Same Boat. And it's just Shaka for your captain. If you want to show some love, drop your feedback or just say hi. It's okay. Subscribe, leave a comment or voice message, share, and make sure you tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your families, because sharing is caring. Even if you don't care about them, just share.
Not well.
Share.
Not well. Daring is scary. I'm here to jump. Sinangangi. Hamko ready. Hamko ready. I've been seeing you around.
Looking hella fine, 10 over 10, bila kutry wale. I've been seeing you around, goofing with your friends all day, effortless white smiles. I've been seeing you around, every night, pali kwetu deck next to the gym wale. I've been seeing you around, konyagi one on chesa on the other, she's a body and I know nimekutaka for a while now. It's just my style, letting my feelings pile, ongeza subtle hints, nimekutaka for a while now. Lily of the Nile, red or white wine, out kingfisher, jina ngangi wa vibes, let's catch a vibe. Leo ni leo, ama nakupenda and it's obvious, nakupenda and it's obvious. Come my way, pretty babes, nimetoka kungoza, it's passing day one. Single spell, I'm all yours tonight. Come my way, pretty babes, nimetoka kungoza it. Passing day, I wanna do you right. Every single spell, I'm all yours tonight. Every day, I've been feeling two feelings kwa tumbo walai. Every day, nikikuona kwa daro na dera walai. Every time, I've been meaning to say this, ila tu sinanga words. Tuende pale hap dinner for two, candlelit of course, starry night babes to be. I'm ever ready, ila kwako sina power walai. Pesa ni sabuni sina, nina work for it. Siezi ringa na vitu sina, tuta uba jidinga sina pia. It's the effort that counts. I've been waiting for this day walai. I've been dreaming of this day walai. I'm kinda tense, but mama raised no wimp. Wadao, I seem different. Come my way, pretty babes, nimechoka kungoza each passing day. I wanna do you right in every single spell, I'm all yours tonight. Come my way, pretty babes, nimechoka kungoza each passing day. I wanna do you right in every single spell, I'm all yours tonight. Tonight we'll dance like never before, drop it to the floor, pause, TikTok, left, right, bring it back up. Watch you smiling back for zina ngangi zina kubwa nita kuwa spiti over summer. Angalia zira ni alafu mwambia ngangi amekuza na takiuba.